Good morning, church. It's been 8 weeks. Are you all wise yet? We've been going through this series on wisdom, and we've been trying to say that it is not enough. God does not want us just to believe in Him. God wants all of our lives. He wants every aspect of our lives. And one of those aspects is that we would live wise lives. God put a whole section in the middle of the Bible about wisdom because, like, knowing God, part of being a God follower is that we live wise lives. God wants us to live good lives, responsible lives. He doesn't want us just to believe in Him and worship Him, but to say, I want to see lives change for the better in every aspect. And so because of that, we've been diving into this idea of wisdom. What is biblical wisdom? What does God say is the wise and good ways to live? And so we've looked at a bunch of topics, and I hope that they've been encouragement to you. I hope that you've seen wisdom in saying, how can I be a wise follower? Things like the wisdom of planning for the future, the wisdom of not being lazy, the wisdom of listening to advice, the wisdom of humility, of walking with a humble heart posture. And today I want to continue in this wisdom series. And I want to kind of take a 2-week study on one aspect of wisdom. And so we're going to do a 2-week study on relationships. No, not those relationships. Not talking about romantic relationships. I know that's what all the high schoolers and young adults want me to talk about, dating. But not those relationships. I want to talk about normal relationships. Human relationships, relationships in general. And I want to say that the wisdom of God is that we would have close, intimate, vulnerable relationships with people. That we need relationships. That in fact, we are hardwired for relationships. And not only us, but the entire universe is hardwired for relationships. That even before the creation of the universe, God existing in triune form was a God that was a God of relationship. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was in perfect relationship with one another before the universe even came to an existence. And then when God creates the universe, He creates this earth among a whole bunch of other things and sets on this earth a male and a female, Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that God walked with them in the cool of the evening. And I don't know what exactly that would look like, but that even in the beginning of creation itself, God is in relationship with His humanity, with His creation, and that we see a perfect relationship. And that the need inside of us, that when we look out into the world and we see other people, we long for relationships. It is a very deep desire ingrained in every single human being. And that is put there by God because we were designed for relationships. And ultimately designed for a relationship with Him, that is the most important relationship, but it's not the only relationship. And so we're going to look at the other relationships today because our need and our desire for relationships is a good thing put there by God. And God has designed life to work that the good, wise life is someone who is in deep relationships with other human beings. We are not meant to go through this life alone, that we need people in our lives. We can't do this thing called life by ourselves. It is the wise way to live. The fool, the other path that Proverbs always talks about, the fool is someone who doesn't have deep, close, personal relationships. The foolish person is the one that pulls away and draws back from people and never seeks out close, deep relationships. And so that's what we're going to look at today, the wisdom of deep relationships. And I want us to see, what does God say about relationships? How does God say deep relationships are supposed to work? And so first, I want to focus on why having deep relationships is wise. Why are they so important for our well-being? And then secondly, I want to look at how we can have better relationships. How can we be better friends? So first, why are deep relationships so important? And secondly, how can we help foster deep relationships in our own lives? And so the first, number one reason why deep relationships are so important is that deep relationships meet our needs. We have needs, and that is an okay thing to have. You cannot provide everything that you need in life. And so we have needs, and our desire even for needs is an indication that we need deep relationships. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. But I want to look at something in the wisdom literature that talks about this. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. I know we've been doing a lot in Proverbs these last 8 weeks, but we're going to do a different wisdom literature book to start off today. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, page 1040 if you're using the church Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. All right, here we go. The word of the Lord. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This might be a familiar Bible passage to you. But even if it is very familiar, think about it for a second. That in this section of Scripture, it is clear abundantly over and over again with three different types of examples that it is better to go through this life with someone else, to have others around you, that this life is meant to be lived with others, to not live in isolation. And he starts with this first example of why two is better than one. And he gives the example of falling down, that you would have someone to pick you up, that it is good to be in deep relationships, because you need people to help pick you up when you fall. This always reminds me of the movie The Lord of the Rings, which is like one of the greatest stories ever. I highly recommend watch the movies or even read the books. The books are better. They really help you grow in your faith. And I say that completely serious. It really does. But there's this scene at the end of the third movie. And if you're not familiar with this story, basically the goal is to they're trying to destroy this ring because it gives the bad guy powers. And so the main character, Frodo, has traversed an entire country. He has gone through struggle after struggle after struggle after struggle to try and destroy this ring. And he gets to the mountain where he's supposed to destroy this ring. And he starts walking up the mountain and he just collapses. He falls over, that he has spent a couple years on this mission, this goal, this quest to try and destroy this ring, and he's so close. He's on the mountain where the ring's supposed to be destroyed, and he just runs out of energy. Like, he's just emotionally and physically drained and exhausted, and he falls down. The bad guy wins if this ring isn't destroyed, and the one guy it was his mission to destroy the ring can't go any farther. And then one of the best scenes in the entire movie, his friend Samwise Gamgee says one of the best lines. He says, "Come on, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry the ring for you, but I can carry you." And so he picks up his friend and throws him over his shoulder and walks up the mountain so Frodo can destroy the ring. And it's like such a great scene in the movie. But think about it, like this incredible, like epic novel or movie too. Like it's all about destroying this ring. The bad guys lose, the good guys win because of one thing and one thing only, a good, deep friendship. If not for the friendship of Samwise Gamgee, who has stuck with Frodo the entire length of the story, that ring doesn't get destroyed. And I know it's a fictional tale, but it is so powerful, if you've ever seen the movie, to see this type of friendship. If you read the book, the friendship's even more pronounced. That to see someone committed to someone else, and literally, when he falls down, he has someone to pick him up. And this is true for all of us, that we all have needs in our lives when we will need someone to pick us up. Now, I doubt any of you will have to traverse a country to destroy a ring, but there will be many times in your life when something will hit and something will cause you to fall down and you will need someone to pick you up. It might be something physical. It might be you're stranded at the airport. It might be you're on the side of the road with a flat tire and AAA is nowhere to be found. But it's not just physical things. It's not just the actual falling down, but just falling down in life. Whether that's you're struggling in your marriage, whether that's financial times are tough, whether that's you're struggling with depression, maybe you're just feeling alone and abandoned by others. But in those moments when we fall, in those moments when we trip and stumble, The wise person has someone that can help pick them up. We need deep relationships. And then the author of Ecclesiastes continues, and he gives another example in verse 11. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Now, let me stop you right here. This is not a Christian pickup line. The point of this book in Ecclesiastes is not to make a sexual point at all. This is not sexual at all. And for the majority of human history, this was very normal. Before the invention of central air, when it gets cold at night, one of the best ways to stay warm is to lie down next to someone and let body heat keep each other warm through the night. That this is actually a very common practice. And if you've read ancient literature, it's all over. You can go back a couple hundred years in American literature and you will read stories of like hotels where they would actually put people in the same bed because it was cold at night. That this is not sexual at all. And I think this is one of the bad things about our culture, because we read this and we instantly think sexual. Or I say we're going to talk about relationships, and the first thing we jump to is romantic relationships. And I would argue that our culture has been over-sexualized in every way. But the thing about relationships is that deep, close, intimate relationships is normal and good. That when the Bible talks about David, it even says David had a friend named Jonathan. And the Bible says David loved Jonathan more than any other woman. That's not a sexual line at all. That is because they had such a deep, close, intimate relationship that they cared for one another, they were concerned for one another, they were there for one another, and that just because something is in relationship doesn't have to mean that it is sexual. And that's the same thing with physical touch. That physical touch is good and necessary for the human soul. We need physical touch, and not all physical touch is sexual. And unless you're married, there shouldn't be any sexual physical touch at all. But we need to be touched. It is good to be touched. It's how you connect with people. And hugs are probably the best way for that. That we need friendships where we can have platonic physical touch, where we feel loved because we feel close to someone. That's a hug or a back rub or just bumping up shoulders. Or if you're ever friends with Kenny Gibo, he just loves the punches on the arms. But these things are good. They're good because it helps connect people in deep, close personal relationships. I know I'm probably getting repetitive with that language, but it's because it's so important. And then the third example in this section in Ecclesiastes is for defense. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. That again, a third example of someone in need, someone who is in a moment of vulnerability, in a moment of danger, that you are safer, you are better off if someone is with you. That for the person traveling by themselves carries a lot more risk than by traveling in groups. That we are meant to live life in community, because when trouble hits, you will need help. The strongest ropes are ones made out of three cords, not one cord. We need people. And all of these in this section are, I would say, like more of a physical need, something that you need in life physically. But good, deep friendships are not just for physical needs. They're for emotional needs. And I want to highlight this by another verse in Proverbs. So flip back one book to Proverbs chapter 12. Kind of the sweet spot for wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Lots of wise stuff in this book. But flip back to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. In other words, anxiety hits someone's heart, and what is the response? How do you alleviate anxiety? You need someone else to speak a kind word into your life. You need someone else. That the answer to anxiety, the way to deal with the anxiety is to look outside of yourself, to find someone else, to have someone else speak into your life. And I want to take this principle and expand it, and I want to say that every emotional need that we have is found outside of us. That we need people speaking truth into our lives. That we need to have a safe space with someone close and someone who knows us that can help care for the burdens that we carry. We all need safe places. And I'm sure in this room right now, we are all struggling with different emotional needs. Some of us might be in a great season of life where joy is just exuberant in our lives and that our jobs or our school, our career is going well, our relationships are going well. You need people for those emotional needs. You need to share the good things that are going on in your life with others. Let your joy pour out and share into someone else. Let someone else rejoice with you for the good things that God is doing in your life. And then on the other end of the spectrum, right, the tougher seasons of life, when we're struggling with things like worry, anxiety, fear, depression, confusion, loneliness, anger, we need people in those seasons too. We need people to talk those things out with. We need to share those burdens with other people. And not just anybody, but someone who is close to us. Someone who is connected with us. Someone who cares for us and who's not going to reject us just because we share something bad that's going on in our lives. And I don't want to act like this is just the fix-all to all emotional needs. Oftentimes professional help is needed for tough things in life. But I do want to say that it is much better to go through the tough seasons of life with someone else, to have people who genuinely care for you, who speak truth into your life, who's willing to listen to you when you're struggling with something, and who will not abandon you in your time of need. That this is what we were designed for, and our emotional needs are met by others outside of us. We need people in those times. And the Apostle John picks up this all throughout his books. He wrote 5 books in the New Testament. And in every single book that he wrote in the New Testament, he loves the interchange between light and darkness. He's always talking about light and darkness in John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Revelation. He loves this imagery. And he uses this idea of light, and that light overcomes the darkness, and that one of the best ways to defeat darkness is to bring things into the light. And that this is true in friendships, that if we are struggling with things, whether that's sin or whether that's worry or whether that's anything in life, we need to take that darkness and bring it out into the light. That we have to share it. We have to confess it. We have to take the things that are hidden and bring them into openness, vulnerably, because that is where we find healing. That is how darkness is defeated. And the place that you do that, where it is safe, is in close, deep, personal relationships. Pouring out all your struggles to the cashier in line at the supermarket isn't going to help you find healing. But pouring all that out with a deep friend, with a close friend who cares for you, that is where healing happens. That is where we grow. But we have to be vulnerable enough to actually share. And it's easy to be vulnerable with someone who we have a deep friendship with. Someone that we have a track record with. Someone that we know cares for us and has shown that over and over again. But we don't just need people. We don't just need relationships so that we can meet our own needs. We need relationships because they help us grow. We grow best when we are pushed by others. And so I want to read one of the more famous Proverbs. You might have read this before, but Proverbs 27:17 speaks to this very issue, that we need deep relationships because they help us grow. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That we are called to sharpen each other. This is the image from the forge, the image from the blacksmith. In the same way that you use iron to make iron better, that this is the relationship that we are called to have with one another. That we help each other grow, that we sharpen each other, that we push each other toward the good, toward the right. And I don't know if you've ever seen iron strike iron, but that is not a gentle interchange. Sparks are flying, and not the type of sparks that Taylor Swift sings about. Like this can be heated. It is a tough process. It's not a gentle, it's not two marshmallows sharpening one another. It's iron. It's metal sharpening one another, that we have impurities, that we have rough spots and edges that oftentimes need to be struck sharply, and the best way to do that is with someone who is close to you. Again, a deep relationship, a close, intimate friendship, that this is where we grow. in our pride, we think that we've made it. We don't think we need help. We don't think we need growth. Like, in our own perspective, we can't see ourselves very clearly. We need someone on the outside looking at us to see things that maybe we don't notice. This is why we need deep, personal, close friendships. Someone who sees past the surface level. Someone who can see through the masks that we put up in life. Someone that knows the real you and can speak truth in the areas of life where you need to grow. And I was just thinking, like, how many times in life do we not have a clear perception of ourselves? And I was just thinking of, like on the most surface level, like, I can't tell you how many times someone's told me, like, Benji, you got something in your teeth? Or like, oh, thank you, there, get it out of your teeth. Or, Benji, like, you're wearing your shirt inside out. Or, Benji, your collar is popped. Or maybe it's just me, maybe it's not you. But like, there's just, we don't even have a good perception of ourselves on the physical outside. How much more on the inside are we not always aware of areas that we need to grow, or areas that maybe need to be sharpened and purified to honor God more? This is why we need deep friendships. This is why we need relationships, because we all need to be sharpened. We all have areas of growth. No one here is above growth. And you will be best equipped to grow if someone on the outside who you trust and know is looking in you and can give you insight that you don't see. That this is why Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. We need to be sharpened. And it's more than just sharpening, though. It's encouraging one another. And so flip over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to go to the New Testament toward the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 is going to address this very issue that we need people that encourage us. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. Page 1872 in the Church Bible. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That we are called to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Consider, take note. Ponder. This is talking about mental energy. Spend mental energy thinking about how you can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Do you realize that we have a responsibility not just for our own faith, but for the faith of those around us? That the Christian walk is not a Jesus in me type of walk. It is a Jesus in us type of walk, and that we bear a responsibility, that we are called by God himself to actually consider and take time mentally thinking, how can I help the faith of my brother or sister next to me? That this is why relationships are so important, because we need to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That it is not just enough to say, I want to do well in my faith, but how can I help my friends in the church do well in their faith? How can I help encourage them? How can I help them walk in love and good deeds? And this past month in the high school group, this has kind of come up, and I think it's been awesome that every time we kind of share like how our lives are doing and where we want to grow. And a couple of weeks ago, Shannon shared, she wants to like, learn how to talk to people about Jesus better. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome, Shannon. And I was convicted, because it's like, yeah, I should be doing the same thing. Like, I need to be talking to people about Jesus. And so me and Shannon actually got together, and last week we went out and did some evangelizing at Cypress College. And it was so awesome, because it just felt like Shannon saw this need and I felt this need, and together we were able to work together to help encourage one another to get better at sharing our faith. That it wasn't like this pastor and not pastor mentality. It was like brother and sister going out to do the Lord's work. That we were encouraging one another to take out that step of faith, because if Shannon didn't bring anything up and if I didn't respond, it never would have happened. But together, we were better for the kingdom than apart. That we need to encourage and push each other to go and to grow and to seek out the Lord more faithfully, that we are called to encourage one another until Jesus comes back. And this is why it says it is so important that we keep on meeting together. That you can't encourage someone, you can't spur them on toward love and good deeds if you're not talking to them, if you're not in community with them. And this is why church attendance is so important. And it's not because I want people to listen to my sermons. That's like the furthest thing from my mind. But the reason why we need to continue meeting together is for this very purpose that Hebrews talks about, that we would encourage one another. You will not grow in your faith if other Christians are not pouring into your lives. You will not grow if you're not letting other Christians sharpen you. And I always cringe when people say things like, oh, you don't need church to be a Christian. I just inwardly cringe at that. Because yes, it is true that it is not the fact that you go to church that makes you a Christian. But Christians obey Jesus. And Jesus commands us to continue meeting together. And for the last 2,000 years, Christians have been meeting together on Sunday morning to remember the resurrection of Jesus. And so, yes, Christians go to church because we need to meet together. We can't give up the habit of meeting together. Are you willing to humble yourself before the Lord and before others to make spending time with other believers a priority in your life? Or a Sunday just a or a Sunday morning at church just a hobby, a part-time endeavor? Because let me tell you, if church is just a hobby, if church is just something you do because it's just something you do, that's like the lamest hobby in the world. Like go buy a boat if you need something to do on Sunday mornings. But to say that I am coming to church, and when I say to church, I don't mean this building, I mean gathering with other Christians for the purpose of growth and encouragement, so that I can be sharpened. If I want to pursue Jesus, then I desperately need good, intimate, close relationships that help me walk more faithfully to Jesus. This is why we gather on Sunday mornings. This is why we have this whole time set aside after our service so that we can talk and encourage and build relationships with one another over food. That this is why we meet together. Because our faith is going to suffer if it doesn't. And lastly, in all of this talking about relationships and friendships, it means that we must have the right kind of heart. The heart that is open to listening to advice and growing. So last verse I want to read is back in Proverbs. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Jumping around the Bible today, I know, but that's a good thing. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse 9, page 1026 in the Church Bible, says this: perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. In other words, nice-smelling things smell nice. Like, praise the Lord for Bath and Body Works. Can we hear an amen for Sweet Pea? Best fragrant ever. And in the same way that nice things smell nice, the advice of a friendship brings joy to the heart. But the thing about scents, the thing about perfumes, the thing about nice-smelling things is they only smell nice if you like their smell. Nice-smelling things don't smell nice to people if they don't like the smell. And in the same way, a friendship will not benefit you if you don't like receiving advice. If you are unwilling to be the kind of person with the heart posture that Kenny talked about a few weeks ago of humility, then advice coming from a friend isn't going to sound like advice. That we have to have the heart posture of humility that says, I need friendships because I know I need to grow, because I know I need advice in my life, and that this friendship with someone is only going to benefit me if I lean into it, if I am open to receiving advice. That we have to buy in. We have to buy into the idea that deep friendships are going to cause us to grow. And it's iron striking iron. It's not always nice, but it is good. And it is good for us. that we will not make friendships a priority unless we recognize our need for them, unless we recognize our need to grow, unless we recognize our need for our needs to be met, unless we recognize how important it is that we have deep relationships. And so I want to ask this final question. What type of friend are you going to be? Are you going to lean into deep friendships, into deep relationships? It's not easy. If it were easy, everyone would have deep, close, personal, intimate relationships. It's not easy to do, but are you going to be vulnerable enough? Are you willing enough? Or do you recognize your need for friendships, and are you willing to lean into them? Because when you do lean into these types of friendships, brokenness starts to be healed. Life gets better when we submit to deep relationships. It's how God designed us to live. Sin itself is broken when we have deep, close friendships. It's how we fight sin. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So if you don't want to come to ruin, have reliable friends. Develop deep friendships. Seek them out. They will stick by you no matter what comes in life. And what this means for us is that if we want to have these type of friendships, it means we need to be this type of friend. That we are called, if you want to have a friendship, be the type of friend that you would want to have in that friendship. Be someone who initiates conversation. Be someone that doesn't just talk about yourself, but ask questions about someone else. Be the kind of person that invites people over to your house. Buy a meal for someone. Take someone out to eat. Live in community. Be the type of friend that you would want someone to have in your friendship. It means being the type of person that says, I want to meet others' needs, whether physical or emotional, that I want to be there for them in the good seasons and the bad. It means I want to be the type of person that's willing to initiate conversation to help others grow, that I'm willing to bring things up, even if they're tough conversations, because I want to help people grow. It means being the kind of person that listens to advice and accepts instruction instead of just walking off and turning our backs when someone wants to speak truth into our lives. That to have deep, personal, close friendships and relationships mean that we are called to take the first step, to be the type of friend that we would want. Now, I want to caution us. We shouldn't be close with everyone. Like, there is wisdom in developing close personal relationships with certain people. But we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about boundaries and relationships next week. But for this week, I want to encourage us all, seek out deep, close personal relationships. Be a good friend. Find people that you can get close to, that you can walk through life together over a long period of time, and you will see your life changed. And I don't just want to talk about it. I don't just want to like preach at you or preach at myself and say, have deep relationships, but I want to actually put it into practice. And so since we're in the 21st century, I want everyone to pull out their phone. I know you all have your phones. Don't act like you didn't bring your phone to church. And that one of the ways that we're good friends is that we initiate, that we don't just expect friendship to come to us, but that we initiate friendship and that we encourage one another. And so right now what I want you to do is I want you to text someone that you're close with, someone that you have a deep relationship with, or you want that relationship to be deeper. And I want you to send them an encouraging text message right now. Don't send a text message about how your day is going. Don't talk about yourself. But encourage them in their walk, in their lives. I want you to text this person, whoever it may be, and just to send them a message of encouragement. So yeah, I'll give you guys a couple minutes to do that. And it's more than just an emoji. Don't just send the face shooting out the heart on the side. Send an actual message. Love on this person you're texting with no thought of getting anything back in return. Okay, it looks like most of you guys are done. If you're still writing, that's okay. You can ignore me, drown me out. But I hope that you guys are convinced how important deep relationships are. That it's kind of funny. Like, did we talk that much about Jesus today? Well, no, not a lot. And I think that's okay, because following Jesus is more than just about like our salvation at the cross or something. It's about living good lives too. It's about living ways that honor God. And this is what wisdom speaks to, that we are called, that God designed us to be in deep, close, personal relationships. And that actually by investing in these types of relationships, it actually moves us closer to Jesus. Because what it does is remind us of the need that we have for a Savior. That in this life, no matter how many good friends you have, if you don't have a Savior, you're still lost. You're still dead in your sins. And so we recognize first that because of Jesus, because of our relationship with Him, that it allows us, it actually teaches us how to have relationships with other people. And so I encourage you in the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Scripture, to lean into friendships, to be vulnerable, to be honest, to dive deep into the uncomfortableness sometimes of what friendship brings, because it's for your good, because you will see your life turn for the better, because you'll be able to weather the storms of life with people around you, and most importantly, because it will push you closer and closer to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just say thank you, first and foremost, for the cross. First and foremost, that you desired a relationship with us so much that you took the first move, that you would be willing to give yourself for us. And Father, I pray that because of what you have done for us, it would change the way we see relationships, that we would be people seeking relationships the way that you seek relationship with us, that we would desire deep, personal, close relationships with others. Lord, that would help us grow, that it would move us closer and closer to you, that we would walk in more healthy ways and patterns of life because we lean into the joy and the toughness of friendships. Father, I pray for all those texts that we just sent out, that you would use those words to just help foster deeper and closer relationships. Lord, we submit all of this to you, because we love you, and more importantly, because you loved us first. And it's in your great name we pray. Amen.